Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Unfortunately, because of the problems with setting up the technology and something wouldn't connect, so we don't really have time for the halacha today. We're going to proceed directly to Rabbi Goldblatt, and the halacha that we were going to discuss today, Bolinator, we will do tomorrow, with our apologies. Hopefully Ronnie will be back tomorrow, and everything will be more organized. Apologies. Morning, Bishus. So the pasuk says at the beginning of the parasha, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, daber el Aaron uchicha." Hashem said to Moshe, "Speak to Aaron, your brother." He shouldn't come all the time to the Kodesh base la parochas of Nea Kaporis Asherah below Yomus. So Aaron HaKohen is instructed clearly that he's not allowed to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim all that often. Just a minute. Aaron HaKohen. And he only goes in once a year. And he spends 7 days preparing for it. And it's Yom Kippur with all the enormous impact of Yom Kippur. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, whose drosha this is, no, any mistakes are mine and any makoros are his, apart from some which are mine. Reb Chaim quoted a Tosefta, which I can't find, which says it's a Prisha of Kedusha. And Rashi says, the Rashi's there in 1a, Rashi says the reason why he mustn't go there so often, because the Gilui Shechina is there, the presence of God is manifest there, he mustn't come there too often. He mustn't have regilus. The English proverb, which is not quite the same, is familiarity breeds contempt. He mustn't be too familiar with the Kodesh Kedoshim. So even though it's Yom Kippur, and all the build-up, and the 7 days of preparation, and the Prisha of Kedusha, the Pasuk still says, Aliova v'chol eis, he shouldn't come all that often. And Reb Chaim used to quote the Chosid Yaivitz. Don't confuse the Chosid Yaivitz with the Yaivitz. The Yaivitz is Reb Yaakov ben Tzvi, Reb Yaakov Emden from Germany, the son of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Yaivitz, the only two things I know about him is that he's Migurushe Sephorad. He was one of the people who was driven out of Spain in 1492 or whenever it was. And he wrote Pirush on Pirkei Avos. And from that Pirush on Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah which says, the house should be based Vad l'chachomim, Reb Chaim used to quote in this context three bits. There is a pasuk in Yechezkel, I put it in there, number two. I actually spoke about it at the Sheva Brachos of one of my son-in-law, the parents of my son-in-law, that's a long time ago, because my mechutin came from Southgate. For the meantime, and I pointed out at that particular Sheva Brachos that Southgate's in the pasuk, which gold is green is not. The pasuk, if you look at it, says, when people come before Hashem, on the Moadim, Haboder Shatz, often if you come in by the north gate, Yetzidah Shanagev, you've got to go out by the south gate. And if you come in by the south gate, you've got to go in by the north gate. You're not allowed to come in and go out through the same gate. Says the Chofetz Yaivetz, why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makpid, that you should have a hislavus, an excitement, an impact from the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. And if you go out by the same gate that you go in, it'll be like your own house. He is makpid that you shouldn't have regilus. You shouldn't be over familiar. Even when you're going there and it's the Beis HaMikdash and it's the regel and all the rest of it, but you've got to go out by a different gate than the one you go in by, so that you shouldn't be over familiar. If you have a look at it, Lo yire hashar shtei pomim, you shouldn't see the same gate twice. Pen yishve ba'enav l'shar beiso, lest you should think of it as being like your own house. Aaron HaKohen, for Yom Kippur and the Kodesh Kedoshim, there's a chashash regilus, he'll be over familiar. The Navi Yechezkel says you've got to go out by a different gate than the one through which you go in order there should not be too much regilus. And then the Chosid Yaivetz says a pshat in Kisisa, which is well beyond my comprehension and entirely new to me, which is well worth looking at. You'll remember that after Chet HaEgel, Moshe takes his tent and he puts it outside the camp. So why is that? Have a look in 3b. Zeh hoya oven osea egel hoya oel besochon. because Moshe's tent before the eagle was in the middle of the tent of the camp, so they were overfamiliar with it. And since they were overfamiliar with it, that's part of what led to Chet HaEgel. So after Chet HaEgel, in order to create a distance, he learns, he took his tent out of the camp. And that's extraordinary, and I'm not sure I follow it, but that's what he says. And if we all of us know that there are certain Talmidei Chachamim, bless them, who have a particular repertoire, and remember a particular one whose name suddenly escapes me, who had about 10 droshes, and they were all good, but once he was 3 minutes into any of his droshes, I knew which one was coming. Okay, and these things do happen. Says the Chofetz Chaim, don't say, these people, I've already heard them, Pomim Rabbis, Huchziku, I'm used to it. No, 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 Shoseba Tzom. It's all about familiarity. You mustn't be over familiar. The Chazal say, even if one person is sitting and learning Torah, the Shekhinah's there, B'chol HaMakom Masher Azkireh Shmi Ovo Elech Oveirach Ticha, Reb Chaim says he remembered his father standing at the door of the Beis Medrash, weeping tears of joy as he looked at Bochrim learning, seeking to see the mind of God. I mean, what we're doing this morning, we're learning Torah, we're trying to work out the mind of God. That's what we're doing, isn't it? The mind of God. We're trying to look into the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kel Elyon. But you think I'm aware of it? Oh, please. I mean, I used to have to speak 20 or 30 times a year. Every time I was nervous, but I assure you it was Eisad Tzibur. It wasn't because we're about to... But that is what it's supposed to be. But familiarity is what takes that away. Familiarity is what takes away the excitement of it. The sakona of Hergel, the sakona of being over familiar, of just, you know, we're opening the book, we're learning again, and, you know, that's normal, that's what we do. You remember the mon? You remember all the nisim of the mon? You remember the extraordinary nisim? You get up, you go out there, there's all your food, you take it, and the midrashim about it tasted of almost everything, not cucumbers, garlic and fish, because there are people where cucumbers, garlic and fish are not good for them, but possibly anything and everything else. Number 6, and the people spoke against Hashem and Moshe. Why did you bring us out of Mitzrayim to die in the Midbar? Ein lechem, there's no proper bread. Ein mayim, there's no proper water, v'nafshenu kotza v'lechem akrokel, and we're sick of the mon. Why are they sick of the mon? Regilus, they're used to it. 7 days a week, 354 days a year, forgive me, it's our calendar, not theirs, and 384 if there was an Ivy Yar, but whatever it is, we're sick of it. And what does it say in Sefer Yeshua number 7? So the day after the mon stopped, there was no more mon, so they started eating the Tvus Oritz. Says Rashi, if there'd been mon, they'd have gone on eating mon. When the mon stopped, Nebuch, they had to eat Tvus Oritz. Something that you're used to, something that happens all the time, you're familiar with, you don't value until it disappears. Until it disappears. And when it disappears, then you realize what you've lost. There's a Medrash Rabbi in Bereshis, we won't do the first two bits of it. A woman asked a particular gentleman why it is that women were created in the way that they were, why when Adam was asleep and all that. And at the end of the discussion she said, most for ani al devorecho, we're in number 8. I'm going to add to what you said. Amuro hoyisi lenosi achimu. I was supposed to marry my mother's brother, but I didn't. You know why? Al yedei shegid gudalti imo, because I grew up with him in the house, his cha'arti ba'enov, I was ugly in his eyes, he was over familiar with me. I mean, he remembered me in my nappies or whatever it might have been. Holach, he went, nos isha cheres, ain't a narkoman, he married a woman not nearly as pretty as me because of over familiarity. Too familiar with me. Known me as a little baby. Too familiar, too close. Regilus. Regilus destroys the hislavus. Think about the first time that your son or your grandson put tefillin on. Think about how exciting that was. Then think about the 7,423rd time he puts tefillin on. Baruch Hashem! Does he have the same islavas? Does he have the same ischadshus? Perhaps not. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. Keep your foot away from your friend's house too much. Lest he see too much of you, he'll have had enough. Your friend, your close friend, but don't go there every day. Don't drop on him every day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. I mean, even people you're close to, there's such a thing as over-familiarity, which is too much. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hashem said, Yan ki nigash omazer bifiv. People approach me with their mouths. There's no mind, and there's no heart, and there's no spirit. Uisfosov kibaduni, they honor me with their lips, but not with emotion, and not with emotional commitment. Usahi yirosimosim mitzvahs anoshim melumodo, and their fear of me, their reverence of me, is no more than a learnt pattern. Now, the reason why the next bit's in italics is because, though Reb Chaim knew it, because Reb Chaim knew everything, this bit I put in because it occurred to me. That's why it's in italics. It's not part of his sicha. I say Reb Chaim knew everything. When one of Reb Chaim's sichas, he quotes a raya from the piyut for the second day of Shavuos. On this raya, I have two kashas. One is, Reb Chaim lived in Eretz Yisrael where they don't have a second day. And the second is, he davened in yeshivas where they don't say piyutim. Reb Chaim was just like that. One of the better stories about Reb Chaim, and I don't know if it's true, but they don't tell it about me, is that in Shanghai, thank you, in Shanghai there was only one Rashba, and it had a few pages missing. So they went to Reb Chaim and said, what are we going to do? So he wrote them out. He used to come in to say the shmooze. I mean, I remember this. I was there. Bein Ayro Isi. Reb Chaim's glasses were about twice as thick as this phone. And Reb Chaim would come in carrying these little gemaras about the size of this box and put them down on the table. He came in wearing a tie to Mechabit the Olam, took it off, tied it on the crossbar of the shtender, it dangled in the dust. He tried twice more and then gave up. And then he'd say the shmooze, please tell me, do you think he could read these gemaras? Did you think he even knew which one? But you know, you can't, he couldn't. So, you know, show that he was saying the whole thing bal peh. That wouldn't have been reasonable. Anyway, so there's a Yerushalmi, which I put there as number 11. I want you to know that the problems that some of us have with concentrating and davening are not new. So, number 11, Om Reb Chia says, Reb Chia Ruba, that's Reb Chia the Great, Onam in Yuma, I my whole life, lo kavonis, I've never had kavon in davening. El Chad Zman, once, boy mechavna, I tried to be mechavn, Vihi Haris Belibi, and I was really thinking, Vamoris, and I found I was saying, Mana Lukumi Malka Kodame Aksabe Resh Gelusa. If two distinguished people, a duke and a mayor, are going in to see the king, who goes in first? I mean, that's what he was thinking about during davening, the day he tried to concentrate. Shmuel said, Honor, Manis Efrachaya, I find I'm counting pigeons. Rebbe Bebon Bar Chia said, Anna, Manis Dimusia, I find that I'm counting the number of rows of bricks in the wall. The next is the great one. Omer Reb Matanya, Ana machzik tuva bereishi. I'm so grateful to my head. Dekad hava mota. When I find my head going down, I realize I've reached moedim. So this is what happens with over regilis with tefillah, and it happens to gedolei amiroim as well as to us. And it's not so unfamiliar. The Tosfos quotes this story about the moedim. That is quoted in the Tosin Bava Basra. This is a sikh of Reb Chaim. This is the bit he didn't say. A friend of mine, please, we should turn the recording off for this story, but I can't. And if you quote me, I shall deny it. A friend of mine who is an American was standing near Reb Chaim, and he noticed that Reb Chaim, I'm about to speak American, forgive me, I know it's blasphemous. He saw that Reb Chaim had goofed off in his davening. Goofed off. So he put his ear near to Reb Chaim, who was deaf as a post and was quite loud when he was davening, to find out what Reb Chaim thinks about when he's not concentrating. My definition of Arai and Keva is this. What do you think about when you're not thinking? What do you think about in the bath? Or in this case, what do you think about in davening? Reb Chaim was kavua in learning. When he goofed off in his davening, he was thinking about the Rambam. So that's how it is. But for the meantime, Rashi famously says on Vayitzei Yaakov mi Be'er Shova, Yaakov left Be'er Sheva. Rashi famously says that Yitzias Tzadik min Hamokam makes an impact while he's there, who Ziva, who Chadorah, and so on and so forth. And when he goes, they've lost it. And Zalman Sorotkin writes, I forget if it's in the name of his son-in-law or his brother-in-law, but whatever it is, Rabbi Volkin, I think it was, that one should note that people only notice when he's gone. Vayetze Yaakov Diber Shoma. At that moment, they realized, Gevalt, the Pino, the Hadorah, the Zebo was left. While he was there, nobody noticed. And that is Regilus. That is the fact that people become over-familiar. Now, recently it was Pesach, and I, Baruch Hashem, have clear memories of the Siddurim that my mother, Zichrona Livrocha, used to make for the whole family 65 years ago. And I can tell you my sin that happened there, but I won't. How do you make the Seder interesting? How do you have a Chiddush? How can you turn Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Afil Chachomim, Yoidim Esa, how can you make it interesting? So Chazal did their best to create a Chiddush there. You remember that Chaim Brisker says that one of the differences between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we do every night, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the question and the answer, Manishtana, Vigadto Levincha, these days it's Vigadto Levicha, but that's another story. You have the questions and the answers to give it a chiddush, to make it come alive. You have the tibulim, you dip whatever vegetable you use, whatever liquid you use, as far as I'm concerned, you can use a banana or a pineapple, and please do, because at least that way the children will ask what you're doing. All you have to do is something which is an andoma, something which is... But this is to create a certain chiddush. Why did Rabban Gamliel hoya omer kol shaloi omer shlusha dvorim elu bepesach lo yotzi dechevosu, which probably, at least according to the Ran, means you haven't done it in the best possible way. It's all to make chiddush. It's all to make it come alive. Now, it is the case that a gap can create a chiddush. The pasuk in Micha says, ki nofalti, Kamti, when I fell, I got up. I'm, as you will notice, I'm not venerable, but I'm getting older. I fell over on the bus the other month. These Israeli bus drivers, I mean, they never break until the last possible minute. I asked my son, who lives in Yerushalayim, if it's just I'm getting older or they're driving worse than they did. He said the old drivers were elderly Jews from Morocco. The current ones are young Arabs. They drive differently. Hey, I fell over. Since then, I feel a certain relief every time I don't fall over on the bus. Kino falti, kamti. For that matter, the pasuk says, ki eisha b'chodesh, Hashem early, says the Medrash Tilim, that we're in 15a, ilulei sheyoshavti b'choshech lo hoya early. Had I not sat in darkness, I wouldn't have realized the light. Reb Chaim used to say there is a point to Bein Hazmanim for the Bochrim, because when they come back, they realize what they've missed. But the danger of a hefsek is enormous. You remember the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? You remember Rabbi Lozer ben Aroch, he's Kemayon HaMisgaber. Oh, wonderful. You remember that Abba Shaul said that if all the Chachmei Yisrael were in one side of the balance, imagine the old scales they used to have, the jewelers I think still have them, and you put a weight in one side, but all the Chachmei in one side, Rabbi Lozer ben Hyrcanus in that side with the others, Rabbi Lozer ben Aroch in the other side, Rabbi Lozer ben Aroch's side will go down. He was more than all of Chachmei Yisrael, all of them together. Okay. Can I just remind you that the word Chodesh, the middle letter, is a Dalad, and a Dalad has a right angle at the top right. Can I just remind you that the word Lochem, the middle letter, is a Chaf, and a Chaf is rounded both at the top right and at the bottom right. So the Gemara in Shabbos tells a story. There was a place called Frugaisa where the wine was really good, and there was a place called Dumeses where the waters were really good for bathing in. And Reb Chelbo says, the wine of Pugraisa and the water of Dumisus, that's what led to the gullus of the Ten Shvatim, tells the story of Reb Lozer ben Aroch. Reb Lozer ben Aroch went there. Reb Lozer ben Aroch, the God of Adur, who's more than all the other us. And he had the wine? Yes. And he bathed in the waters? Yes. And he forgot all his learning. And when he came back, he went to try and read the Sefer Torah. I imagine they called him up. Like our brethren, the Tamanim in those days, anyone who was called up used to lay. And he was supposed to read, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Reb Lozer ben Hyrcanus read, Hacheresh hoyo libom. Their hearts were deaf. He'd even forgotten how to read. Instead of chodesh with a dalet with a right angle, he read cheresh with a resh with a round on it. And instead of lochem with a chaf with two round bits, he read libom with two right angles. And the Maharsha says that what it meant was what had happened to him. Cheresh hoyo libom, their heart was deaf. His heart had been deafened, hadn't it? And that is the danger of a hefsek. And the Talmidim davened and his Torah all came back and all of that is wonderful. But yes, it's perfectly true. If you fall, you feel a good feeling. The doctor will confirm this. You feel good about when you can walk again. And the doctor tells you to hold on to the handles and not to stand up till the bus. You're fine. If you sit in the dark, then the light makes a difference to you. But there's a danger of sitting in the dark, and there's a danger of falling, and there's a danger of a hefsek. Look what happened to Reb Lozer ben Aruch. The Gemara in the Dorim. Everybody knows the story of Reb Akiva. Reb Akiva married the daughter of this extraordinarily wealthy man, Kalba Savua, who then banned them, and I'm not going to give them any money, and she sent him away to learn for 12 years. After 12 years, he came back for learning, and he heard some Rosha saying to his wife, that husband of yours, first, he's not like you, and secondly, he abandons you. You're a living widow. And she said, if he'd listened to me, he'd go and learn another 12 years. He turned around and went back. He didn't even drop into the house. Why not? Why didn't he go into the house to see his wife? Said Reb Chaim, even a moment of interruption. I mean, if he's got her a shus to go, even a moment of a gap in the learning. I put together a Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas, number 18, says Reb Hananya ben Achinoi was going back to the Beis Medrash after the wedding of Reb Shim ben Yechai. We do know what Reb Shim ben Yechai was. I mean, today is the 20th day. We're on the way to either his Yortzeit or the day of his Simcha, whatever. There's discussion what the Giyusri is there. It's quite interesting, but that's not for now, and probably not for this Beis Medrash. Anyway, so Reb Shim ben Yechai said, wait till I finish with the wedding and you go back with me. And he didn't wait. Just a minute. For the sake of getting back to the Beis Medrash earlier, he sacrificed the possibility of learning with Reb Shimon ben Yechai on the journey. His options were, go back now, and you don't get the chevrusa with the God Lador, or wait, and you can have chevrusa with the God Lador all the way. The danger of the hefsek. The danger of the gap. There is a chazal. It's quoted by Rashi in Parshas Noso. You remember that the story of the Sota begins, Ishki sister ishto, a man whose wife goes astray. And the word sister, the root is sin tes he. And that is very similar to the root shin tes he, as in shtus, which means insanity. And Chazal say that nobody commits an avera, and Elohim came nichnas bo ruach shtus, lest a spirit of madness went into him. Now, I always assumed that what this chazal means is a moment of mad passion. Reb Chaim thought not. Reb Chaim thought it might be that what this means is that at the moment when somebody does an avera, the person doesn't realize what the consequences are going to be. I raise a question. Reb Lozer ben Aruch, the God Lador, the Mayanamis, Gabel, the person who'd be machria everything when they called him up, did he not realize that he'd forgotten how to read? I assume that the only way to understand the story, I assume, but tell me a better pshat, is that he didn't realize that he'd forgotten how to read. And for sure, when he started drinking the nice Mouton Rothschild or whatever it was, and diving into the Turkish bath or whatever it was, I assume he didn't know that the consequence would be that in a couple of weeks' time he wouldn't be able to read HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, HaChareish HaYom Libo. I assume he didn't realize the consequence. Reb Chaim wondered whether this, Elim Kein Nichlus Bo Ruach Shtus, is that people don't realize the consequences. People know what Takonis Ezra is. Takonis Ezra, which is not the Halacha Bisman HaZeh, though the Rambam thinks it is the Minhag, and our Hasidic brethren are very particular about it. Takonis Ezra is that a man who has been motzi zera, whether legitimately or illegitimately, is also to daven and also to learn until he's been to mikveh. Okay, so that is Takonas Ezra, which, as I say, is not halacha lemaisa bisman hazeh. I was told the other week a story, should turn this off again. The story goes that on Purim, the Chassidish of Bochrim went to Rav Avraham Gluovitch and asked why he doesn't put pressure on the Bochrim to go to mikveh. And allegedly, Rav Avraham says that he thinks that half an hour of learning ketzos before shachris can get you to at least the same madrega as going to mikveh. And they went, they told Rav Chaim Kanievsky this. Rav Chaim said, I didn't know Rav Avraham Gluovitch thought mikveh was that important. Anyway, be this as it may, Takonas Ezra. Rav Chaim quoted a Yerushalmi. It is there in number 20. There was a man, a Shomer Kromim. His job was to be a watchman in the vineyards. And he and a particular woman, whose job is not named, had decided to do the Issa Eishes Ish. The Issa Eishes Ish, if you remember, is one of the worst things in the Torah. It's one of the few things which does not stand in front of, which stands in front of Pikuach Nefesh. V'chai bohem, it says in this week's parasha, but not for the sake of Eishes Ish. Anyway, they were looking for a mikveh for him to go to afterwards, and they were still busy looking for a mikveh. And when other people turned up, you can't do a thing like that. Ooh. Just a minute. They're about to do the Issa Eishes Ish. And he thinks he's still on a madrega that he should go to mikveh, and then he can daven, and then he can learn after Eishes Ish. I mean, no recognition whatsoever of the consequence of the Aveira. The Gemara in Brochus. Brochus is there as number 21. A man was Toveya Isha Lidvar Aveira. A man sought to seduce a woman. She said to him, Reka, empty fellow, have you got 40 saw to Tovelin afterwards? I mean, 40 saw. Takonas Ezra. I mean, not just we know Paskin Takonas Ezra. Takonas Ezra is sof a takona de rabbonim for kedusha and tara. After an avera like that, he thinks he's still a kodesh and a tahar. Lahavdil between gedolei Yisrael and arvonim pshutim. I think it should. One cannot learn other than that Loza ben Aroch didn't realize that he'd forgotten how to read, and these two people. Imagine that I'm the same from fellow Shachris, Mincha, Meiriv, and Adaf Yomi Shir that I was before the Aveira. Normal people don't think about the consequence of the Aveira. So if you remember when Ashes Potiphar sought to seduce Yosef, Vayamo'eni refused and he said, absolutely not, I just can't do such a thing. I can't. And there's a medrash, and with this we're going to conclude. There's a medrash which explains what he was thinking. The medrash says three pshatim. The first pshat is that Yosef said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to people, takes people in my family to be a korban olah. If I do this, the consequence will be that I'm not fit to be a korban olah. The second pshat is he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to my family at night. At night. There's actually a very interesting Meshach Chokmah about him only appearing to Yaakov at night. That's got to do with Yaakov going into Golus, which the others didn't, and Meiriv. But for the meantime, this Medrash says he customarily appears at night. What will happen if he wants to appear to me at night? The consequence. And the last one is, Adam HaRishon only had one mitzvah, and for that alone he was thrown out of Gan Eden. What will happen to me? What's the point of this medrash? What's the point of these posited conversations? The point is that Yosef realized what the consequence of Aveira would be. Unlike Lahavdil or Reb Loza ben Aroch, who didn't realize that the wine and the waters, which are not Naveira, but Hachare Shavir Libam instead of Hachodesh Azelochem. Unlike the Shomer Kromim, who thought, I'm still going to mikveh and daven and learn, why not? Unlike the man who approached the woman, I can still go to mikveh and everything will be fine. Yosef HaTzadik realized the consequences. The English proverb, which is not quite this, is familiarity breeds contempt. We have to try to make chiddush in our learning, try to make chiddush, a feeling of islavus, a feeling of life, whether by questions and answers like we do in the Seder or by dipping a pineapple in salt water if you must, we have to try to develop a feeling such that, like Reb Chaim's father looking at the Bochrim and crying because they're trying to read the mind of God, they're learning Torah, and that's what learning Torah is, we have to try to make sure that it's not regilus, that it doesn't have the interruption which brings with it the dangers, that we recognize the consequences of getting things wrong, and when I at least do get it wrong, because Odom ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechtar, that we don't give up, we just get up and try again, try to develop again the hislavus, the chiddush, and the feeling of life. Ad kan. Thank you.
Thank you.